This is absolutely true. I ran into a guy, not with my car, I ran into a guy who was wearing a pair of sneakers. That doesn't sound like a big deal. I looked down at his sneakers, and there were two different sneakers from two different pairs of sneakers. The left sneaker was red and had white laces, and the other sneaker was black with brown laces, which doesn't even go. And I knew the guy, and I said, "What's up with the sneakers? What's up with the shoes here? You're wearing one sneaker from one pair and another sneaker from another pair. What's up with that?" And he says to me, "Ron," calls me Ron for some reason, he says, "Ron, this is the newest thing. Your shoes are not supposed to match. They're from two different pair. It's the new thing, man. It's a thing." I said, "It's not a thing. It looks like you don't know how to dress yourself, and you were in some drunken stupor, and you put like shoes on from two different pairs of shoes at the same time. That's what it looks like." And he said, "Ron, you're so out of it, man." Calls me man. He says, "You're so out of it, man. This is the new thing." I said, no. Here, the new thing is you being committed in some type of insane asylum. That's the new thing.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
New thing.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
If you like that sort of new thing.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or it could be good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. It's the new thing.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program today. You certainly smell nice. Did you ever come upon somebody who smelled horribly, and you're wondering if it's the smell is exuding from their skin? Or whether they've done something to make themselves smell horrible, no matter what the reasoning may be, run away. Run away. People shouldn't be smelling like that. Dog excrement, that can smell like that, but not people. It's a thing. Next time I go to a restaurant and I have spaghetti or something, and I get the spaghetti sauce all over my white shirt, little dots of red spaghetti gravy all over my shirt. And someone comes up to me and says, "Ron, you got stains all over your shirt." I'll be able to say, "No, it's a thing. That's the newest thing. Stained clothing. It is. It's the newest thing. Haven't you heard? It's a statement. It's yeah, it's a statement that you're sloppy and you can't eat your foodicles all over your clothes. No, that's a thing. That's new, man. Get with the program, man. People will be wearing that all over the world in like a few months. Stained clothing. You've heard of distressed jeans and distressed clothing, where you buy the clothing and it's already got holes in it and it's already dirty and it looks like you've had it for 35 years and never washed it. That's sold new like that. It's called a distressed look. This is new. This is the distressed shirt look, where it has stains, gravy stains, and it's dirty and it's wrinkled. It's a thing, man. That's the way they sell the shirts. Ron? What? It's a thing. I hate that term. It's a thing. It's supposed to be the excuse for everything. Thing. Bobby, you've failed math. You failed history. You failed in every one of your subjects. They want to leave you back a year because you're failing in every single subject. What's the problem? It's not a problem. It's a thing. You see, when you fail all the subjects, you have successfully completed failure across the board. That's a thing. It's new. People all over the world will be doing it soon. It's called a string of things. It's a thing. Oh, man. Excuse for everything. It's like President Trump. I hate to use those two words together. As a matter of fact, let's go to the White House. The newest clown to come out of the small car is Rudy Giuliani, who at one time was America's mayor. Of course, during the World Trade Center situation in 2001, Rudy Giuliani, whatever fucking name is, he pulled together all of New York City and all of the country. And now he's, I guess it's a thing. Now he's acting as Trump's personal attorney on all these lawsuit fronts and probes and investigations. And Rudy's just kind of messed it up immediately. Because it's a thing. Of course, in order to work with Trump in the White House, you have to fit into the clown shoes. By the way, the two shoes don't match because it's a thing. And you have to be able to throw a pie and take a pie. And he's done both. It's some weird reality program that I'm living through. And since the election of 2016, I've pinched myself to see if I was awake so many times and now have a welt on my inner thigh. I think that's why the welt is there. The fact that it's in my inner thigh is curious, but it's probably just a thing. Coming up later in the program, we have a very interesting interview that I shall be engaging upon with a young lady who has a very high post at Facebook. She is responsible for a community policy. This should be interesting because, as you know, recently Facebook has been under fire and lost ground considerably because of the selling or the obtaining of information by that Cambridge Analytical group. Who is taking your personal information and the personal information of your friends on Facebook and using that against us or to market us or to manipulate us. Your personal information is not private. It is available. I think you probably knew that, but you know, you assumed that it wasn't, but it is. So she's going to be here and hopefully explain that. I have a feeling she's going to wiggle her way out of it, but we'll see what happens. That's coming up later in the program. I very proudly, once again, have not been on Facebook now for 3.5 months, and it's a thing. I'm going to start my own company called Crotchbook. The Facebook thing is outdated. Face, I get it, okay. Crotch, better, more significant, makes more sense. So what's going to happen is you're going to open an account for your crotch, and there you can have all your friends who have crotches, and it's Crotch Book. Why not? What's the problem? Will I be sued because it's too much like Facebook? I don't think so. And even if I am, the lawsuit will make me popular. It's a thing. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is just glowingly fantastic to be here with you. It is the summertime almost. Coming up, it's next. And that enters into the question of swimming pools around the country. Places where there was winter is now turning to going outside and doing stuff outside. I was perfectly happy with the winter because I was doing stuff inside. But now you have to do the same stuff outside in the sun where it's hot and sweaty. So much for that, whatever the case may be. The entire winter I spend sitting on my ass inside of my house. Now, with the good weather, I can sit on my ass outside of the house. So it really doesn't matter to me. I sit on my ass no matter where it is. I'm just changing locations. Either I sit on my ass in fresh air, where the ozone level is probably unhealthy, or I sit on my ass inside. It doesn't really matter. Although when I sit on my ass inside, I can watch TV. Can't watch TV outside. Sometimes it's too sunny and I can't see the screen. So perhaps I prefer the winter. Anyway. A lot of people go swimming during the nice weather. I personally don't have a pool. I don't need to own a collection of water for bacteria. That is not something that I aspire to. I remember when I was a child, my parents had friends who had a very, very nice in-ground swimming pool, and we would go there every once in a while. And they had a big sign on the fence near their in-ground swimming pool, and it said, "We don't swim in your toilet. Please don't pee in our pool." And I didn't pay attention to that. I peed in their pool anyway, because who's going to tell? You don't have to hold anything. You just let it go. And I'll pee in your pool if I want to. And I did. My rationale was that it's chlorinated, and the chlorine will immediately eat the pee in the pool, very similar to a Pac-Man game. Then when I got older and I became a little bit wiser and was aware that some of my actions may have negative connotations to it and negative results, I realized that when I go swimming in a pool and I swim underwater or open my mouth in a pool, some kid 2 feet away from me may have just peed in that pool and I'm swallowing his or her pee. I didn't realize that until I got older. It takes a while for me to get it. So I decided in retribution, as long as I actually peed in their pool, I would go upstairs to their bathroom and I would actually swim in their toilet. I thought that's what the sign meant. If you're going to do one, you must do both, engage in both horrible things. I tend not to want to swim in public pools because kids do pee in them. And they fart in them, and perhaps they have some horrible skin disease. Have you seen some of these kids today? Man, they have bad skin, and they're oozing and pussing, and they don't cover them up. When I was a kid, we had a thing called Band-Aids. These were little strips of plastic cloth. They had adhesive on them, and if you had some type of a sore or a wound, you would cover these things. Not that it stopped the infection in the pool, but that it just was more palatable and it didn't make me think of it. Now, for some reason, it's a thing where we don't wear them. We just let them air dry our wounds and our gouging skin. So when I see a kid in a pool, either his pus is going to be floating on the surface of the swimming pool or he'll be defecating in that pool within moments. So I tend not to want to swim in that pool. And the only way that that can be possibly safe at all is to overchlorinate. I can't see an overchlorination. The chlorine gas is so intense that I can't even open my eyes. My eyes burn. I understand why the chlorine has to be intense is because you little bastards pee in the pool just like I did when I was a kid. But it's not pleasant, and I'm sitting there in the pool, and all I'm doing is inhaling chlorine gas, which, I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, in certain doses can be lethal. Not only that, when you walk into a hotel that has a swimming pool, what's the first thing you smell as soon as you walk into the lobby? Chlorine. Makes you not want to light up a smoke anymore, which you shouldn't do anyway. We don't swim in your toilet. Please don't pee in our pool. Really, you don't swim in my toilet? I don't know why you don't. It's a perfectly logical thing to do. Here's the difference. I can swim in your pool because your pool is fairly large and I can fit my body into it quite easily. I'd love to see you swim in my toilet. That would be interesting. I don't even think your foot would fit in my toilet. I don't even think your foot would fit in my toilet. That's so hard to say. But how many times would you have to say that phrase anyway? Ron can't possibly say. He's having trouble saying fit from foot in the toilet. Why would he possibly even want to say that, though? Got really quiet in here all of a sudden. Did you leave the room? Did you just leave the room and come back again? Did you go into the bathroom and do something in my toilet and you're not going to tell me what it is? This happens all the time to me. Unbelievable.
Ron Van Dam, master of the ancient art of talking to yourself as if there was actually someone listening. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
That's fairly demeaning in a sense. Have you heard about our new contest here on the Ron Van Dam Show where you can win a brand new 2018 Nissan Rogue? That's right. Have you heard about that contest? Well, it doesn't exist. I don't know how you heard that, because there's no such thing. You can't win it. I don't have those cars. What do you think this is? Went into a convenience store yesterday to try to buy a hot dog. I was in the mood for a hot dog. They have hot dogs like for a dollar there. You know, I can deal with that. As much as a hot dog will kill me, I felt like having one. There was a line of five people. They were buying scratch tickets. And I thought, you know, I said to myself, each and every one of you have a problem. You're standing in a line at a gas station convenience store to scratch a piece of paper to see if you can win back the amount of money you just spent for the scratch ticket. It kind of doesn't make sense. You can hear this program on the Podbean Network. They house every one of our episodes, well over 1,000 of them. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, any word that has the word tune in it, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, I don't know, kind of a lot of places. We're on just about every device, except for the fire extinguisher. I don't think you can hear us on the fire extinguisher. Here's something scary. You know that Amazon Alexa? It's like Siri, only it's like Siri in the home. This Amazon Alexa, you speak to this little device and this woman's voice comes out of it and she does what you ask her to do. It's a concept that you will never see again in real life, but somehow robotically this woman's voice will do exactly what you wish it to do. It'll turn on music, turn on lights. It'll do all kinds of odd, lascivious sexual acts to you. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm wondering how far it will go eventually, you know, to the point where you can actually ask Alexa questions and she will answer you in a very personal, because why not? I mean, all Alexa has to do is just go to your Facebook page and pick up all the personal information about you. And she can talk back to you in a very sexy manner. And this could cause a lot of social anxiety. I have a friend who, that's the end of the sentence. I have a friend. That's sad, but I have a friend. That's it. One, I can only handle one friend at a time. Even that is a lot of, I can't, that's a burden. That's just a burden. It's more of a burden. Anybody I have to take care of beyond myself, that's a burden. I have many burdens. That's a burden. I have a friend who has one of those Roomba vacuum things that looks like a large flying saucer thing. You put it on your rug and you turn it on, and this little robotic vacuum cleaner disc will supposedly clean your carpet while you go to a bar and get shit-faced. It's kind of interesting in that sense. Many times my friend says he'll come home and the robot vacuum cleaner has missed a few spots, and he yells at the vacuum, and I said, well, why are you yelling at a vacuum? Because the vacuum is not a person, it's a robot. And he says, I know, it's a thing. It's just a thing. That's all. It's a thing. You yell at things. You yell at inanimate objects. Of course they can't hear you. Of course they don't react. They're just objects. But it's a thing, and it helps you feel better about yourself. Oh, really? That makes you feel better about yourself, that you're yelling at objects now? Well, yeah, it kind of makes you feel better. No, it doesn't. It makes you look weird. That's like going to a kosher deli and expecting to get a lap dance.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear? But you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Hi, Monica.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Monica Bricker joins us now. She's the head of policy management at Facebook. I've heard of Facebook before.
I'm glad you have.
Okay. What has happened in the field of policy management? What has occurred recently?
Well, what we've done is we have released the details of our community standards. Mm-hmm. Now, these standards, which are basically the rules for what you can and cannot post on Facebook, these standards have been public for many years. Uh-huh. But what's new is we are now publishing the details of how we enforce these standards. So, for instance, when we say that we don't allow hate speech, what do we mean by hate speech? How do we define that, and how do we apply that policy?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that prominent so that the user would recognize that, or is it something that you just click a little check mark or something?
Well, if you go to our site, you can find our policies, or you can go to facebook.com/community standards and see right. The policies there. You'll see first the categories of content that we don't allow. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned hate speech. We'll say, we don't allow hate speech. If you want to learn more, you click on the button that says Read More, and we'll give you the details on exactly how we define hate speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So So you go there if you want that information, but you don't have to agree to anything in order to continue with your Facebook management.
You don't even have to be on Facebook. Anybody who has access to the internet can go online and find these community standards. They're public.
Okay. Are there other standards that are mentioned here besides hate speech and such?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We don't allow things like harassment, bullying, threats of violence, mm-hmm. or sharing somebody's personal information. There are other categories as well. If you go to our site, you can see all of the categories of content that we don't allow and exactly what we tell our content reviewers when they're enforcing these policies.
Okay. Now, the sharing personal information, of course, there has been a situation recently. Has that changed in any way?
No. The way that people interact with third-party app developers and the data that they give to those developers, mm-hmm. that's something that's governed by our platform policies. Mm-hmm. What our community standards cover is what people can post online.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you shared somebody's driver's license number or their bank account number, mm-hmm. that would be a violation of our policies and we'd remove it.
Okay. All right. Okay, so nothing has much changed. Those policies have really always been there, haven't they?
That's right. The lines aren't changing. What's changing is the amount of information that we share about how we enforce these policies.
Okay.
Now, I will say that the policies evolve over time. Mm-hmm. Every couple weeks, we get together and look at issues that have come up in the world
right.
and adjust our policies as necessary to address those issues.
Okay, so... has enforcement of those policies been the same, or is Facebook taking a harder stance on those policies?
Well, we're certainly getting better over time in that we've increased the number of people that we have reviewing content. We now have more than 7,500 people worldwide, and that's allowing us to respond to reports of violations within 24 hours in most cases, and we're reviewing these posts in dozens of languages around the world.
Are there any political references in these policies, or that's a platform situation?
No, these policies are about safety.
Okay.
They're about safety and legality.
All right. All right, so safety and legality as far as what the user is posting.
That's right.
Okay, all right. Okay, very good. So so the idea here is to tell users that there are restrictions, and we're reminding you that they are, and they will be enforced accordingly.
That's right. We've gotten questions over mm-hmm. the past couple years from people when we say we don't allow hate speech or we don't allow threats mm-hmm. of violence. They'll say, well, what exactly do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
This is our way of giving people that clarity so that you know exactly what you can expect to see when you come to Facebook.
If I see something like that from a post that is a quote-unquote friend, and I use that term very, very loosely, on Facebook, I need to report that. Is that part of the monitoring system?
You can report any piece of content to us. So if you see a group or a page or a photo or a post and you think, this really does not belong, there is always a way to report that to us, and we review any report. So you send that to us, we're going to have somebody look at it. And we'll get you a response, usually within 24 hours. If the content violates our standards, we'll remove it from the site.
The person that I would be reporting or the post that I would be reporting, is there any notification to the person that posted that they have been tattled upon?
No, they would not know that you have reported them. That's confidential.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we remove their content for mm-hmm. violating our policies, we'll send them a message saying, you violated our community standards. And now we'll actually give them, this is new, we mm-hmm. just announced this yesterday, now we will give them the option to appeal that decision.
Oh.
If they think we've made a mistake, we'll take a second look at it.
Okay. So if a user goes onto Facebook and says something derogatory about, say, Afro-Americans or blacks or Chinese or something like that, or any racial group, that would be construed as opinion or is hate?
That would be hate speech. If you attack a person or a group of people based mm-hmm. on, for instance, their race or their religion,
okay, very good.
We would remove that. But I want to make clear mm-hmm. that you can critically discuss religions and institutions and countries.
Yes.
We draw the line when you're attacking people.
Okay. I got you. All right. Interesting information. How do we get more of that?
Well, if you want to learn more, you can always go to our site or you can go to facebook.com/communitystandards.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for the information today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was oddly interesting in an oddly interesting way. That was like speaking to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You ask her a question and she doesn't answer it. She just goes around it, lies, and then you realize, okay, you answered the question, but you didn't answer the question. I mean, wow, what an art that is. Same kind of thing. Those people have become valuable assets to our society. That's become a thing. If you can skirt the question, turn it around, lie through it, and then finish the answer, and you haven't answered the question at all, that's an art. That's a valuable commodity in today's society. You know it's true. Don't argue with me. Don't you dare argue with me about that, because you know it's true. And if you don't know it's true, well, it is true. Don't argue with me. We're out of time for today. This has been an experience that I'll never forget, unfortunately, as much as I try to. Even with mild memory loss, I cannot forget well enough. Look, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you at this point. I think we're both not well. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. Join me again when the next weekday rolls around and we'll do a brand new episode. And thank you so much for your patronage. And good luck on winning that new Nissan Rogue. What a wonderful car that is that we're not giving away. I wish you peace. You know, the only problem with SUVs is that you really, literally now cannot, you can't lock anybody in the trunk because there is no trunk. Ooh, that's a downer.